second lesson this morning is taken from Matthew's Gospel, the 24th chapter, beginning at verse 36 and continuing to verse 44. Jesus is teaching about the necessity of being watchful and awake, preparing for his return. Listen again to God's word. But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Every year at this time, I find myself surprised by just how quickly the beginning of Advent sneaks up on us. Seems like Halloween was only a few days ago, and I would dare say that most of us still have a few Thanksgiving leftovers in the refrigerator. Time has a way of sneaking up on us. That's one of the lessons that we find in this morning's readings from Isaiah and from Matthew. In Matthew, Jesus is talking about the day of his return. He's teaching his disciples what that day will be like when he comes back to judge the nations in righteousness. But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, Jesus says. He doesn't even know when he will be coming back, but only the Father. You see, Christ's return isn't something that we can put on the calendar. It's not something we can write in big black letters and try to schedule our dentist appointments and oil changes and soccer practices around, hoping that there won't be a conflict of some sort. That's not how Christ's return will work. The days are coming, says the Lord, but not even Jesus knows when that day will come. And so that's where we find the tension of Advent. During this season, we prepare ourselves to celebrate the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We prepare not by looking to the past, which might seem intuitive. Instead, we prepare by looking to the future, to the hopeful expectation of Christ's second coming, his second advent. We don't hear scriptures about shepherds and wise men and a young couple traveling to Bethlehem because of a tyrant ruler. Instead, we hear scriptures like this text from Matthew. not about a virgin being found with child, not about a cute little baby, not about shepherds or wise men, but about the grown-up Son of Man coming like a thief in the night, when the world is least expecting him. And if we're not careful, we might just miss him too. That first time that Jesus came into this world, we were all caught off guard. Yes, it's true that the prophets had foretold the coming of the Messiah, and yes, men and women had hoped and prayed that they would live long enough to see him. But when Jesus was born in Bethlehem on a starry night, only a few shepherds took notice. The Messiah arrived the same way all of us arrive into the world. He wasn't wielding a sword or riding a horse or commanding an army. The sun didn't stand still, though the angels did sing. He came in the quiet darkness of night. The old hymn puts it like this: how silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessing of his heaven. The word of God becomes flesh and dwells among us. It's in the everyday miracle of a baby's birth that God himself becomes one of us in order to live with us, to live with God's people, and in time to redeem us. A whole lot of people missed this miracle the first time around, and there are a fair number of people who are still missing it today. Sometimes we all miss it. Then and now, we are sometimes so busy looking for something that we will probably never find. We are looking for power and might to change the world. But God chooses to do something very differently. God chooses a young virgin and a baby, a manger and a cross. 2,000 years ago, give or take, Jesus didn't really fit into the world's expectation of what a Messiah should be. And in many ways, Jesus still doesn't really fit into our expectations. He tells us to love one another, to turn the other cheek, to pray for our enemies, to sell everything we own and give all of our money to the poor. He invites us to put all of our faith and trust in him in order to be saved and to surrender ourselves to his care. He bids us to take up a cross and to follow him, to lose our own lives in order to be found in him. In a world where everyone wants to be the master of his or her own destiny, Jesus calls us to a life of faith and obedience in order to be ready for his return. The promise of Christ's return fills us alternately, I think, with hope and dread, with longing and fear. Because we are comfortable, many of us are comfortable for the most part in this world. We have warm places to live and food in our kitchens. We have jobs or pensions. We are comfortable in this world. And yet every Sunday we pray an incredibly radical prayer. We pray, "Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come." We pray for God's kingdom to come on earth, but do we really mean it? Do we really understand? And if we did understand, how many of us would be tempted to add under our breath, but not just yet? Christ's return is on God's schedule. He is coming whether we are ready or whether we are not ready. Listen to what Jesus says about his own return. For as the days of Noah were, the days before the flood, when Noah was building the ark and everybody was scoffing at him, for as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing. They just continued on blissfully ignorant until the flood came and swept them all away. Wow, thanks, Jesus. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man, he says. There will be two in a field, and one will be taken, and one will be left, and two women will be grinding meal together, and one will be taken, and the other one will be left. Matthew reminds us that the God of the whole universe invades our everyday mundane lives, and nothing is off limits to God. Eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage and working in the field and doing the laundry and watching the game. And what a game that was yesterday. It will be just like the time of Noah. People were going about their business, their usual business, and suddenly, seemingly without any warning, the floods came and washed everything away. And so it will be when the Son of Man returns, Jesus says. God's timing isn't dependent on us being ready or having our collective acts together as God's people. That would be a long wait indeed. It's kind of like Christmas in a way. We try our best to be ready, right? We try our best to be ready, but December 25th comes whether we are ready or not, whether the tree is decorated or not, whether the gifts are wrapped or not, whether the cookies are baked or not. As always, my standing offer to try any of your Christmas cookies is offered once again this year. Christmas comes whether the cards are mailed or not. Therefore, keep awake. Be prepared. Christ is coming at an unexpected hour. So how could we be prepared? How can we be alert? Because perhaps we get a little distracted this time of year, and not for good reason, right? It's a fun season with parties and decorations and special foods and memories that come flooding back of Christmases past. And who doesn't love a good celebration? So perhaps being prepared isn't as complicated as we thought it was. Perhaps it's as simple as remembering that God is always at work in our lives and in the life of the world. That's what incarnation is all about. God has come to live with us. Even in the daily grind, we find God blessing us in totally unexpected ways. Perhaps staying alert is as simple as remembering that Jesus came into the world to save us by his death and resurrection. Sometimes our focus shifts and we forget that we don't always have to get our acts together. Jesus does that for us. I don't have to be perfect for God to like me or love me or save me. God does it because he loves me. Jesus does this for us. Accepting this gift in faith, it will change your life. Perhaps keeping awake is as simple and as complicated as remembering that and is always the right time to do the right thing. Jesus, you see, he doesn't give us a deadline to meet. He simply tells us to be ready. And perhaps being ready is as simple as walking in light and peace. Come, says Isaiah, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. There is always a lot of talk about light and peace this time of year. I was listening to the radio coming home the other day from Ohio, and in the mountains it kind of fades in and out, but I was getting a strong signal and I heard a program where people were talking about how this is such a wonderful time of year, how people seem to be nicer and gentler and kinder. I guess that's except for Black Friday. And how it's such a pity that we can't live this way all year long. This sort of light and peace idea. But why can't we? Why can't we live in this idea of light and peace all year round? It's hard, though. I get that. We hear on the news, on TV, and in the newspaper, we read about wars and fighting that continues to rage around the globe. We hear about people who are hungry and struggling. We know that the world is not as it should be. But what if we were to remember? What if we were to remember that peace begins with each and every one of us? That it begins at the lowest level and works its way up? What if we choose to remember to live our lives in peace? What if we remember to be beacons of light in a dark world, to let Christ's light shine through us? I'll freely admit that there are times when the world's problems just seem completely overwhelming, and I'm tempted to despair because one person cannot possibly change all the pain and the suffering and the war and the violence. But God doesn't call us to change the world. God is the one who is changing the world. God calls us to bring light and to bring peace to our own little part of the world. God calls us to bring light right where we are, to make peace with those around us. That's how the process begins and how it grows slowly, steadily, and with great patience. Perhaps these are the ways that we can be ready for the unexpected coming of Christ. Perhaps it has nothing to do with grandiose plans, but rather simple, everyday life lived in faith and obedience. I know that doesn't sound very glamorous, and it certainly isn't some earth-shattering revelation, except that it is. God, you see, comes to us not with the flash and bang that we might expect, riding on a horse, wielding a sword. God comes to us in the simple whimper of a baby. God comes to us quietly in the darkness of night, and stars shine and the world sleeps. And if we're not careful, we might just miss it. We gather at the Lord's table this morning, and as we gather at the table, we're reminded that Jesus takes simple, everyday things like bread and wine, everyday food, and he feeds us with the bread of heaven and the cup of salvation. Here at this table, we get a glimpse of the coming day the day that Isaiah describes when nations shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, and nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Here at this table, we are invited to watch and to wait, to prepare our hearts and our minds. Here we find strength to live in obedience to faith and to welcome our Lord Jesus when he returns to judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. So until that day comes, let us keep awake, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, you tell us that you are coming at an unexpected hour, and so we can't mark it in our calendars or put it in our date books. We can't schedule around it. Help us, Lord, to remember this. Help us to remember not to just schedule around you in our lives, but to put you first, to put our relationship with you as the most important thing, that we might know you better, that we might love you more, and serve you with joy and gladness of heart in this life and in the life to come. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.